Psalm 101, we're going to be looking at verse number 3. Psalm 101 and verse number 3. My father, years ago on the farm, often would have to use the welder and weld machinery that was broken. And over time, he got to be quite an accomplished welder. He could weld just about anything that broke. Very seldom did they ever have to hire someone to do the welding for them because he learned to do the welding. He tried to teach me. I wasn't a very good learner, and I never did succeed. Every time I'd try, the welding rod would stick and then jerk it loose, and I just get so frustrated because I couldn't make it work. And I just never had the skill. But one thing I did learn that I never forgot, and I never will forget, when Dad was welding, you never got near it without thick glasses on. You had to protect your eyes. Because if you looked at that welding rod when it was glowing, it could blind you. And Dad very strongly emphasized that to us. Never get near if I'm welding. If I'm welding, you look the other way. If you're going to be near, you grab one of the helmets and you put it over your face and cover your eyes. Don't let that get to your eyes. And you know, in a very similar way, but different, the psalmist here addresses another way of protecting his eyes. And Psalm 101 verse 3 says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A very, very important verse for all of us here this morning. Psalmist again, he says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. And protecting our eyes will help protect our character. It'll help protect our morals. It'll help protect our reputation. And it'll help protect our testimony for Christ. And so, this morning as we look at this, I want to look at the verse starting at the last phrase and working backward. And you'll see why as I work my way through. I think it's a little bit more functional in the way we're going to be looking at it here. But we'll look at this phrase, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. The first point I want us to notice, we're going to be looking at actions that we need to take in order to protect our eyes. Actions we need to take to protect our eyes. The first action is to fearfully realize the danger. That little phrase, before mine eyes, is the one we're going to start with. Before mine eyes. There's a danger for our eyes. Our eye gate is one of our key data sensors that are bringing data into our bodies and into our lives. Our eyes are one of our five senses. And we learned about our five senses in science class. But three of those senses, the smell, the touch, and the taste, there's a lot of things that enter our mind through those things, but they're probably not the major source of data that comes in. Our ears, our hearing, brings in a lot of information. But I truly believe that probably our eye gate is where most of our information enters our body. You stop and think about it. If you had to choose whether you're going to lose your hearing or lose your sight, I would far rather lose my hearing than my sight. I would not want to lose my sight. Because so much is dependent upon our sight for life. We need it for everything we do. You need it for the daily activities. You need it to keep yourself safe. And there are just so many ways. But our eye gate is used to bring in information into our lives. And it is a great help to us. In Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 20, we read, hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. The eyes of man are never satisfied. Our eye gate is good. It's helpful. We benefit greatly from it. But our eye gate is also a source of entering of a lot of things that we don't want in there and that God doesn't want in there. And our eyes are never satisfied, always wanting to see something more, always wanting to see something else. And sometimes that's good, many times that can be bad. And some of the things that we see, what do we see with our eyes that could be cause us trouble? Well, we see people, we see videos, we see pictures, we see words, we see ads, objects, things of nature. You go for a walk and you see the things of nature. You know, there's a lot of things that our eyes see that we are bringing in data into our minds and into our lives. And some of them are fine. Others of them have potential problems to them. And the times of life that we observe these things are through our daily activities, our daily life. Maybe it's at work, even through media and through the internet and through Facebook and through books and even when you go to the shopping center. You know, this message this morning is, I'll admit, it's probably more geared to us guys than it is to the ladies. All right? Because we have probably more of a struggle with our eye gate than the ladies do. But that doesn't mean that it's not for them as well. They need to benefit from this as well. And they can help protect men with what was on their actions. But as we look at this, you know, as we go through things in life, you go to the shopping centers and a lot of these places, it's disgusting. I mean, they gotta sell some of the stuff they gotta sell. I understand, but they don't have to put models out there with their underwear on just so you can see what the latest model of underwear is and things of that nature. And you're walking by and guys have a tendency to be attracted to that. Why? That's part of our nature. Now, it's not a good part of our nature, but it's part of our nature. And like it or not, we've got to deal with those kind of things. And then there's the beach. And, you know, if you go to the beach swimming, as a Christian, you cannot go to the beach swimming in the normal swimming part and keep your mind clean. You can't do it. You're going to have to go to the dog beach or go sometime in the late evening when nobody else is around or early morning before anybody's around. I'm not saying the beach is wicked. I'm just saying the things that are at the beach is wicked. And so you need to guard yourself and guide and protect yourself. And adverts, you know, even the things they send out in our mail and they put it in your box and you open them up and it's full of, you know, all these. It's basically pornography and, you know, they call it advertisement. We've got to guard ourselves. We live in a world that is full of this kind of stuff that is harmful to us and is hurtful to us. Some of it we can control. All right? Some of it we can say, no, I'm not going to turn that on. I'm not going to watch that. I'm not going to look at that. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to do that. Other things you can't always control. I mean, you still got to go to the shopping center to buy the things you got to go and, you know, got to get. You can't avoid everything. And so there's some things, maybe it's even at work, you know, some woman at work is just always being flaunting herself and you can't avoid work. You got to go. How do you deal with it? All right. And so God's telling us here, he says, the psalmist said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. There is a danger. Fearfully realize the danger that is before our eyes. And we must fearfully realize the influence of our sight. It has a great influence on us. And as we bring in data, that data stores for a lifetime. I wish there was a delete button. I wish there was a way of just erasing some of the things that we've seen. But you know, the phenomenal thing about the way God designed us is that when we see something, our memory has the, in our mind, has the ability to remember that in high definition, video, full color, full volume, full voice, everything. We can see the whole thing again and again and again and again, just that fast. Faster than any kind of technology they can come up with. In our mind, you can't forget it. You can't erase it. And it just irritates me because there's things I'm supposed to remember that I can't remember for 5 minutes. And things I'd like to forget, I just can't. And that's just the way life is. And we've got to learn to deal with that. And we've got to learn to conquer these things and to be able to deal with these things. And what we see feeds our thoughts. One glimpse can trigger memories just that fast. In a split second, just one glimpse of something and a whole vivid scene comes back in your mind just like that. And one glimpse can rouse emotions. You know, it's not always just sensual things that we're dealing with here. But one glimpse of something and remind you of something and all the emotions come back in full force and you just feel overwhelmed again by that one thing that took place that fast. And what we see also has to do with it can ignite our lusts. Maybe you have been there, done that, where you're thinking fine, you're maybe even quoting Bible verses and you're singing some songs all as well, and all of a sudden some indecent thing comes into your view, and just that quick, all that good that you were just thinking about just kind of vanishes, and you think, where did that go? I've been doing right, I've been thinking right, and there's this, and it just a temptation to think wrong. And as I said earlier, much of these comments are addressed to us men. You ladies can be very thankful that you don't have to deal with the lustful passions to the extent that a man does. But at the same time, ladies, don't tune out, because you have a great impact on those that are around you. And if you don't act right, do right, dress right, and conduct yourself right, you can be a cause of fall to someone else. And you don't want to stand before God and give answer to that and have God say, you led men astray because of the way you dressed, or you led men astray because of, you know, you don't want that either. So there's both sides to it. But here the psalmist again, he says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. It will influence our character, the way we think, the way we act, the way we speak, the way we respond, our values. Why do people today think like they do? Why do people today see nothing wrong with a lot of the evils that were taboo 50 years ago? What has happened? It's their eye gate has been influenced mainly through the television and now through the internet. But it has changed their thinking, and so the devil puts that kind of garbage in front of them and keeps telling them it's okay, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. Look at it, it's okay. And after a time, we get callous to it, we get accustomed to it, and we start thinking, well, maybe it's okay. And the eye gate is where it's all come in. And it is harming our world. It is ruining our children. The young people of our age today are being destroyed by this. But it's not just the kids, boys. It's not just the kids. It's all of us that are affected by this. All of us have a need. And so we've got to be careful with this and understand that our eye gate is very significant, even when it comes to the reading page. You know, you can pick up a book. There's all kinds of garbage books out there. You pick up the wrong kind of book and you start reading. You know, this, you know, you may read novels, especially some of you ladies. Me like reading love novels. Those things are polluted. You need to be careful what you're reading. If you're reading about someone else's love affair and they're doing things that God wouldn't want and they're doing things that you know are wrong, then you ought not to be reading that book. Get rid of that book. Don't fill your mind full of that garbage. Don't be reading swear words and filthy words in those books. Don't be doing that. What are you doing? You're filling your database with garbage. You're never going to be able to get it out. Don't allow that stuff to enter your mind. Put it out of your mind. Don't look at those kind of things. And what we see triggers our covetousness. It triggers covetousness. That's why ads are so popular today. Because if they can get you to think about what they are trying to promote, even if you don't need it, you think, oh, maybe I need that. Most of those things are advertising out there we don't really need. You know, sometimes the grocery ads, yes, you need a few of them. But it's nice when they put out some half-price sale on something I use all the time. But when they're trying to get you to get this new thing because it's bigger, it's better, it's faster, it's smellier, it's nicer, or whatever it is, they're trying to get you to do it. Why? To covetousness and wanting something that I don't need, being dissatisfied with what God has provided for us. You know, as Christians, God wants us to be content. Contentment is not one of the qualities that many people have today. Content. I don't need anything else. I got everything I need. I don't need a bigger and better and faster. Oh, if it breaks, I'll buy another one, yes. But we don't need to keep up with the world. We don't need to keep up with everything that everybody's doing. Be content. God wants us to be satisfied with what He gives us. If God knows we need something, He'll provide. And pray about it. If you start needing something, pray, God, would you show us what we need here? Help us with this. Provide for us. Meet that need for us. And guide us. And just ask God for direction. But we need to just depend upon the Lord. Now, what we look at will influence our testimony. But it'll also influence our fellowship with our spouse. Guys, if you are looking at garbage, it's going to have an influence on how you fellowship with your spouse. It has an influence on our children. You know, we may say, well, you know, they don't know what I look at. Yes, but it has an impact on how I act and how I respond and the things I do and the things I say, and it does have an impact on my kids. and it has an impact especially on my fellowship with God. God sees it all. God knows it all. He sees everything my eyes look at. And remember, the Spirit of God lives inside of us if we know Christ our Savior. And if He's living inside of us and we're allowing our eyes to look at things, He is there having to see through and sift through all that filth and garbage as well. That can't be right. David again says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. So the first action we need to take to protect our eyes is to fearfully recognize the danger. There is a danger. The second action we need to take is to prudently evaluate what we see. He said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. No wicked thing. No wicked thing. We must learn what God calls wicked. Once again, we live in a world of relativism where people call all kinds of wickedness, they call it fine. It's no longer bad. It's no longer wicked. It's no longer evil. Because everybody can do what they want to do. And if I think it's okay, it's okay. And if you think it's okay, it's okay. And if you don't like it, too bad. And we live in a world like that. But God has a standard of right. And God's standard of right has not changed. You know, many times people say, well, the Bible's so old and outdated. 2,000 years ago. Things have changed. Yeah, things have changed, but God hasn't changed. Right and wrong hasn't changed. Not in God's sight. In men's eyes it has, but not in God's sight. Right is still always right, and wrong is still always wrong. And God wants us to understand. He says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. No wicked thing. The word wicked, there's several different words that are translated wicked, but the one that is used here, it literally means works of Belial. Those of you who have studied the Bible much, you know Belial is a name that was given to Satan. The works of Belial. And it deals with all that is worthless, unprofitable, base, ruinous, and destructive. And he said, I will set nothing in front of my eyes that is going to be worthless or unprofitable or base or ruinous or destructive to me. I don't want any of that in front of my eyes. To learn what God calls wicked, we must let the Bible be our guide. That's so important. Psalm 119:133 says, order my steps in thy word and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Order my steps in thy word. That means the psalmist was praying, God, make sure every step I take is according to your word. Nothing that would displease you. Everything according to your word. With God's help, we need to prudently evaluate what we see. The word prudently. Prudently means to carefully or sensibly, cautiously, circumspectly, sift through and carefully evaluate everything we see. Not based on our feelings. Not based on opinion, but based on the God's Word. See, many people today, they live by their feelings and their opinions. I don't feel like it's wrong, and my opinion is that it's okay. And so therefore, it's okay. And if you don't like it, too bad. And that is not a standard for what is right. That is a standard for corruption and downfall. God's Word will set for us the standard of what is right. And we've got to depend upon the Bible. And what that means is that we need to know the book. Folks, you will never read this book too much. Never. I remember hearing a Christian years ago say, well, I read that book, that chapter once. Why do I need to read it again? I thought, you'll need to read it again and again and again and again and again and again and again all your life because we don't remember all of it. And a lot of times I'll read something that I've read scores of times before and I think, wow, that is something I've never seen before. Look at that. That is really, it's because this is God's Word. It's not the local newspaper. It's not some novel. It's the Word of God. And it's full of things that can help us and strengthen us. Now, as we prudently evaluate what we see, evaluate it even according to this definition of wickedness. You know, ask yourself, is it worthless or unprofitable? to me spiritually? It's what I'm watching. You know, you plop down to watch something on television. If you sit down, is this something that is worthless or unprofitable to me spiritually? Is it going to make me a better Christian or a worse Christian? Again, we need to be honest. And then evaluate it. Is it base? Where base means lacking moral principles, ethics, or honor. Does this that I'm putting in front of my eyes lack basic morals, ethics? Is it really, truly right? Is it honorable? Another question, could it be ruinous or destructive to my character? Could this that I am seeing harm my character? Make me the kind of a person I know I don't want to be. Much that we see in our world is that way. Folks, I'm not preaching at you this morning. I'm preaching to me. I need this as much as anybody else. I've got to guard my eyes because I don't want it to ruin me. I don't want that to ruin me. And I've seen people's lives ruined by allowing their minds to be uncontrolled, and it has ruined their lives. Led them astray, brought them into harm, into all kinds of corruption. We need to ask ourselves, would Jesus look at it if he were sitting here beside me? Most of us know what we believe God would do. And yet, if we know Jesus Christ, our Savior, where is the Spirit of God living right now? Inside of us. He is always with us. Not just beside us. He is inside us. And He sees everything we see. And when we sit there and take a glance at something we shouldn't look at, we turn something on we know is perverted or wicked or full of cursing and swearing or immorality, we know that. We are forcing God Almighty to sit there and watch that filth with us. That is wrong. That is wicked. And David here said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I want to give you some verses that I think can be of help to us. I'd encourage you to write them down. If you don't have a means of writing them down, please go to the website. It's on your bulletin. Go to the website. Download the notes from this. It's easy to download. You can print them out if you want to. But consider these. These are verses that can help you. 2 Chronicles 14:2 says that Asa, who was the king, Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord. He did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord. So we ask ourselves, is this that I'm watching? Is this that I'm looking at? Is this that is in front of my eyes? Is it good and right in the eyes of the Lord? Good question to ask ourselves. Proverbs 22, verse 3. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. The prudent man, the careful, cautious man, he foresees the evil. He sees if I look at this, it could lead to this, and it could lead to this, and that could destroy my marriage, and that could cause me all kinds of heartache, and I could end up in prison. And if I look, I'm not going to go that way. He foresees the evil and hides himself. The simple pass on and are punished.
I didn't see nothing wrong with that. Fine with me. Didn't hurt my mind any. I'm okay. And all of a sudden, bang, he gets hit and falls flat. Ruins his life. The fool.
God says, don't be that way. Matthew 5:28 says, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. God says it's not just the wicked sin of physical adultery that is wrong. It is even the sin of eye adultery that is wrong. Looking at a woman with lust, God says it is adultery in the eyes, in the heart. That is wrong. Guys, you cannot look at pornography and that kind of filth and say that there's nothing wrong with it. It's just between me and myself. It is not. God said it is wrong. It is wicked. It is evil. And we can't do that. We've got to guard ourselves. Mark chapter 7, verse 21 and 22 says, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, which is uncontrolled lust, and an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. Pretty much describes a lot of what's on television and a lot that's on the internet. God says, don't put that in your mind because it comes from your heart. All of those sins, God said, come from a person's heart. How can it come out of the heart? The only way it can come out of the heart is because we've allowed it in. If you allow that garbage in your mind through your eyes or ears or whatever, but if you allow it in, it'll store in the database of your heart. And God says, one of these days it will come out and it'll wreck your life. It'll destroy you. It'll hurt you. God said, don't do that. We've got to guard ourselves. We've got to protect ourselves. And oh, how I wish that there was a delete button. That we could just say, get rid of that one permanently. But there is no delete button. You can't get rid of it permanently. Oh, God can help us focus on other things. I'm not saying we've got to dwell on the garbage all the time that's in our minds. But you can't get rid of it. It's there. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those are the kind of things we ought to think on. Those are the kind of things we ought to be watching. We ought to be looking at. We ought to be reading. We ought to be filling our minds with. 1 Corinthians 10:31. It says, whether therefore we eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. When you're sitting there in front of that internet and something filthy comes on and you sit there and look at it, are you doing that for the glory of God? Absolutely not. Not. We can't. It's impossible. And we've got to guard ourselves. When you open some novel and it's got some lewd scene in the novel, are you reading that thing for the glory of God? Absolutely not. And so we've got to guard what goes into our eye gate. We've got to. Because everything you let in is storing in your database. And God says once it's stored in the database, it can and will come out. And oh, how we don't want that to happen. We don't want that to happen. Colossians 3:17 says, whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. If you sit down and watch television with your family, doesn't matter whether it's with your family or whether it's by yourself at midnight, by the way. If you sit down and watch that television and something comes on that Jesus Christ would not watch with you, then you better turn it off and get out of there and not watch it anymore. We've got to protect ourselves. We need to prudently evaluate what we see. So first of all, we said the first action of protection was fearfully realize the danger. Secondly, prudently evaluate what we see. Number three, firmly resolve to honor God. Back to our text, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I will set. Those two words. Will set. I will set no wicked thing. He's talking about a resolution. He's making a decision. He's saying, I will firmly resolve to honor God. I will be careful. I will determine to honor God with my life. Remember back in Genesis 39, young Joseph, sold as a slave, living in Potiphar's house as a slave in Egypt. And Joseph was tempted. He was tempted probably beyond any temptations I've faced. I praise God I haven't faced temptations like that. But he was tempted. And what did he do? He continually, repeatedly said, no, 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 no. And he ran from the danger. We read in Genesis 39, verses 9 and 10, it says, there was none greater. Joseph is speaking now to Potiphar's wife when she's trying to seduce him. And he says, there is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he, my master, kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her to be with her. Joseph said, no. No. And Joseph wasn't trying to get himself into situations like that. He was at work. He couldn't do anything, but he was a slave. But he was determined to do right. Think back in the book of Job. Job said in Job 31, verse number 1, he said, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? Job 31, 1. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, 37, turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in the way. Turn away my eyes. Help my eyes to look the other way, and not to look the way of lust. We need to plan our protection. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 11 says discretion, which is a word that literally means planning. Discretion or planning shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee. What he's saying is you need to plan a way of escape. Plan a way of avoiding evil. Plan a way of protecting yourself. Plan a way of meeting the need so that you're not tempted to do those things. Remember the book of Daniel? Daniel was another one of those slaves. Daniel was taken captive as a young teenager. Made a eunuch. Put in that palace of the king of Babylon. And was told that he was going to eat the king's diet. And Daniel knew in his heart that the diet that was set before him was against his Jewish dietary laws. And God didn't want him to do that. And Joseph purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat nor the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Joseph purposed in his heart. And we've got to do the same thing. We've got to say, I know where I stand. I know what I'm going to look at and what I'm not going to look at. I've purposed in my heart that that's where I'm going to draw the line. I'm not going to budge. We've got a purpose in our heart. He firmly resolved. We need to stay close to the Lord and make no provisions for the flesh. Romans 13, 14 says, we'll put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Many times we're our own worst enemy. We know our weaknesses. And we know that if we just kind of go there briefly, that we just might happen to see something that would kind of be exciting. But we know it's not right. But we go there anyway. And get ourselves in trouble. And God says we can't do that. He said make no provision for the flesh. 2 Timothy 2:22, flee youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. He said, run from it. Flee it. Don't stay near it. And so when you watch something and something comes on, or you're walking down the shopping center and all of a sudden right next to you, you turn over to talk to your wife and there it is, all these models in there with nothing much on. And you got to turn your eye away from it and you got to think right, you got to do right, you got to focus right. Why? Because the devil wants us to do wrong. We need to run away. We need to say no. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Abstain. Stay away from it. Say no to it. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17 says, and if you call on the Father who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Now that's got a lot to chew on in that verse. I challenge you to think on that one. 1 Peter 1:17. Basically what he's saying is he says, because we're going to stand before God and give an account, you need to pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. We need to fear God because one day we're going to answer to God. Fear Him. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, as we sang. And one day we're going to stand before holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty and give account of every single thing we have allowed in front of our eyes. We're going to give account. We need to pass the time of our sojourning, our daily life in fear. fear of God, realizing I will answer to God. We need to firmly resolve right now in order to stand later. Think back with me to Joseph. When was it that Joseph said in his heart, I will not be immoral? Was it when that woman came in and tried to seduce him? No. It was years earlier when he was a young lad and he said, I will keep myself pure. I will not do that. I will not. It was long before that he did that, and that's why he was able to stand and say, no, I won't do it. Now, fellas, it's not easy to stand and say no when we're tempted with things that we shouldn't look at. But if we have a determination in the past where we said, I have vowed to God, I'm not going to look at that kind of stuff, I'm not going to think about that kind of stuff, I'm not going to let that into my mind, I'm going to flee it, it'll help us in the day of temptation. Daniel did the same thing. When Daniel was able to stand up to the king and say, no, I'm not going to do that, it was because Daniel, years earlier, had been trained as a young lad. That's not what we do as a Jew. No, we don't do these kind of things. We are different than other people. This is what God expects of us. We're going to live a God's way. We're going to do God's way. And Daniel had it ingrained in his heart. So when the time came that he was tempted to give in like many of the other lads did, Daniel said, no, I will not do that. And he said, I'll die first before I'm going to do what I shouldn't do. And he took a stand. But it was because he had prepared beforehand. We need to establish God-fearing viewing rules and keep them. Dads especially, not just dads, but men especially, you need to establish viewing rules. You need to say, this is right, this is wrong, I'm okay to watch this, but not this, and not this, and not this. I will not do that. You need to establish them now so that when it comes up, you can say, no, no, that's wrong. And ladies, you need to be involved in this and help them with this. And even though you don't understand, and even though you may not see the need for some of these things, you need to believe me and believe your husband or believe other men that are saying, this hurts, this is harmful, this pulls me down, this leads me astray. And men, we need to just quit being such cowards and start telling our wives the honest truth. Most men, it makes me so frustrated. We're such cowards. We don't want to stand up to our wife and say, listen, don't wear that because that is immodest. You're going to lead some man astray. Don't look at that because that's what leads me. That's what hurts me. We need to stop being cowards. Tell them the truth. Ladies don't understand. They don't have the same feelings we got inside. We've got to teach them. And we live in a world that is polluted by this filth, and it's outraged. And David said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. We need to filter, protect our phones and our internet. You say, why would I want to do that? I'll just be tough, and if I see something bad, I'll just turn it off. It's far better, far easier, far more pleasant to have a filter on it. There's some free filters, one called K9. That'll go on to most devices. It's free. And what you do is you have your wife or a trusted friend put the password in and not tell you. And it helps protect you. And the great thing is, I can go searching the web for things that I need and I don't have to worry about some smut coming up in my face. I don't have to worry about it because it blocks it all. I am grateful for that. I don't look at myself as a weakling that has to have a crutch to help me through life. Don't look at it that way. That's wise. Remember, the prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself? That's the wise man. The fool says, oh, I'm tough, I can handle it, and he walks right in and falls on his face. And the another filter that I use primarily on most of my things is called Custodio. That one's not free, but it's about $40, $50 a year, something like that, for all of my devices. And that works really good, too. But there's lots of them out there. But put something on and have your spouse to use the password just for your safety. It's good. It's helpful. Particularly if you got youngsters in the house that are using the internet. A family that has youngsters in the house and has no filter on their internet, they're insane. Young people are young people. And they're going to do what they want to do when mom and dad aren't around. It's insane not to have some kind of protection on that. There is so much garbage out there. And once it's in, you can't get it out. Protect ourselves. And then we need to learn to bounce our eyes when sudden wickedness or indecency appears. Just like a bouncing ball. You think of a bouncing ball. You take a tennis ball and you bounce it on the ground. What happens? The second it hits the ground, boom, it bounces off. And that's exactly what we need to do with our eyes. The bouncing ball doesn't sit there for a few minutes and then finally jumps up. It just immediately responds. And so that's what we've got to do. If we're in a situation and all of a sudden something inappropriate comes up, we see it, we need to turn away quickly instead of saying, well, you know, another couple looks there and, oh, yeah, well, I shouldn't look at that. Bounce our eyes off of it. And fellas, listen. It's not easy. It's not an automatic thing. It's something we've got to discipline ourselves to do. We've all got that tendency in us because of our sinful flesh. And we've got to work at these things. So finally, I conclude with the last thing we can do to protect our eyes. The last action. First of all, fearfully recognize the danger. Secondly, prudently evaluate what we see. Thirdly, firmly resolve to do right. And number four, personally decide. Notice the very first word of the verse. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. You're the only one that can make the decision for you. Oh, we can put filters on things and protect our kids and help them, but there's going to be times when they're going to be in situations where the filter's not there. They have to individually make that choice. Every single one of us in this room this morning needs to make that individual choice and say, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I've got to make that choice. I can't make that for you. Your spouse can't make that choice for you. Your parents can't make that choice for you. Oh, we can help each other, but individually, we are responsible. And we've got to make that choice ourselves and say, I am going to determine not to do that. And what that means is that I have to vow to God and say, God, help me with your strength, with your grace. I, with your help, will not look at that anymore. I will not look at that anymore. I'm not going to watch television shows that have filth in them. I'm not going to watch television shows that have swearing in them. That'll alleviate most of them. And I'm not going to watch those kind of things. Why? It's filling my mind with garbage. Jesus wouldn't watch it. Why should I watch it? And why should I force the Holy Spirit to watch it with me? I will not do it. And you are the only one who can make that resolution. You've got to make it yourself. And I challenge you this morning. And as I said at the beginning, I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching with you. You know, I need this as much as anybody else. That's why I have a filter on all of my stuff. I don't want that garbage in my mind. And that's why I regret, you know, things that I've seen in the past. I wish I could push the delete button, and I can't. I wish I could scrub it clean, but I can't. And that's why I'm saying, keep it out of the minds of your kids. Keep it out of your minds. Help our families, help ourselves to keep clean and godly. Because if we don't, it will corrupt us. It will destroy us. That is why we see the morals of our nation crumbling. That is why we see people in our world doing things today that 50 years ago they would have been ashamed to do. And they're doing it right out in the open anymore. And they're not ashamed of it anymore. Why? Because their minds have been polluted by the garbage that they've absorbed. And if we're not careful, we'll fall into the same trap. We've got to do it. Folks, I plead with you. I beg of you. Look again at what David said. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. It may mean that you're going to have to get rid of your television. Melody and I have been married for 39 years. Never had a television in 39 years. I'm not saying you all have to be like me. But I don't want a television for two reasons. Because I know there's a lot of garbage on there that I don't want in my mind. And I know that when you're in the middle of a good show and you're watching this thing and oh, you're all excited and you got to see what happens at the end and all of a sudden comes on a bedroom scene. You say, well, I want to see what happens at the end. So just, I'll take a walk for right now. There's that temptation. I don't want to have to face that temptation. Not only that, but I don't have time to watch television. don't have time to keep up with all the stuff I'm supposed to do, let alone sit and watch television. So I'm not telling you got to get rid of your television, but I am saying this, you better filter it, protect it somehow, some way, so that it doesn't pollute your thoughts and your mind. It's not easy. We live in a wicked world that is Satan's doing his best to pollute every one of our minds and our lives. He wants to destroy you. He wants to corrupt you. He wants to make you immoral. He wants you to fall into sin. He wants you to wreck your marriage. He wants you to get away from God. He wants you to get into trouble. He wants you to cause your testimony to be shamed. God doesn't want that, but the devil wants to destroy you and me. And we've got to fight him. And this is how we can fight him. Set no wicked thing before our eyes. One verse for you to ponder as I conclude. Maybe one that you will want to hear. But Romans 14:23, and I'm not quoting it verbatim, but Romans 14:23 says that if we do doubtful things, that is a sin. So if you sit and watch something, do you say, well, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's okay, maybe it's not. If you watch it anyway, that is a sin. Because you know deep down inside that there might be something wrong with it, but you did it anyway. God said that is wrong. That is wrong. Now, it may not even be something that is bad. Paul's, in the context here, he's talking about eating meats that were offered to idols. And he says, really, there's nothing really wrong with eating that meat. It's just meat. But he says, I'm not going to do it because it is a doubtful thing, and a lot of people aren't so sure that it's a good thing, and I might hurt their testimony, and I'm not sure that God would want me to do that, so I'm not going to do it. And it's wrong for me if I do it. Even though there's really nothing wrong physically with eating that meat, you're not going to get sick if you eat that meat. But he says, I'm not going to do it, because it's a doubtful thing. And so it is in our own hearts. If there's something that is doubtful, you say, well, you know, it's borderline. I'm not so sure. I don't know. Don't watch it. Like the old saying that I heard as a kid, and you probably heard it too. If in doubt, don't. If in doubt, don't. If in doubt, don't. And it'll help to protect us. We need to guard ourselves. So this morning, the challenge is clear. You know what you got to do. I don't have to twist your arm. You got to make a choice. You're either going to walk out those doors and say, Pastor, blowing his top again, carrying on, ranting and raving. Or you're going to say, you know, the truth of the matter is, I have to guard what I see. And I got to make some changes. And you got to sit down with your spouse, and you got to, or even by yourself if you're not married or whatever your situation, you need to just say, here's where I'm going to draw the line in the sand. That's the line. We're not crossing that line. That's where it's going to end. And then live by it. Live by it. God will bless you if you do that.